We're talking with Julie Wetherill today, who is an associate professor in residence in the Department of Psychiatry at the University of California in San Diego. And she's also a staff psychologist in the VA San Diego Healthcare System home-based primary care program. Our topic today is treating anxiety and depression in older adults. Dr. Wetherill, let me ask you the first question. How common is anxiety and depression in older adults?
Most studies have shown that the rates of major depression in older people are about 2%. The rates of an anxiety disorder vary a little bit more, and I think we have a little bit more difficulty diagnosing anxiety in older people, and also some of the studies have excluded, in various studies, PTSD, and some studies generalized anxiety disorder. But generally the rates are between about 5 and 10% for anxiety disorders in late life. So anxiety is actually more common than depression. Now, if you count anxiety symptoms, depressive symptoms, we're talking more like maybe 1 in 5 older adults might have significant anxiety or depressive symptoms. If you are someone who's providing mental health treatment in a mental health setting, you'll actually get an impression that there's a lot more depression because those are the folks who come in for treatment. If you're in primary care, that's where you're probably going to see the anxiety disorders, but you may not have the luxury of enough time to talk with the patient if you're a primary care doctor and to really flesh that out.
And in your studies, when you use the term older adults, that refers to what age?
That's a very good question. Obviously, putting an age cutoff on older is arbitrary. Some studies use 55, some studies use 60, some studies use 65. I think the thing to keep in mind is that so much research, particularly treatment research, has age cutoffs of 18 to 65. And the mean age of those studies is usually in the mid-30s. So when we try to start with, you know, even as quote-unquote low as 55 or 60, you know, we're still getting a mean age that's at least in the low to mid-70s, which is going to give us some information relevant to older adults.
So you've conducted research showing that that older adults with anxiety disorders respond more poorly to treatment than do younger adults. So I'm wondering, is diminished cognitive ability a reason for this, or are other reasons such as physical ailments and medications factors as well?
I don't necessarily think so, and here's why. First of all, older people with anxiety disorders actually seem to respond about as well to medications as younger people with anxiety disorders. And older people with depression respond as well to psychotherapy and medications as do younger people. So it's very specific to psychotherapy for anxiety where you don't see it working as well. In older people with depression, where psychotherapy works quite well, people also have cognitive impairment and medical conditions and other medications. So I don't think we can say that's the answer. I think possibly anxiety tends to be more chronic. Depression tends to be more episodic. So what we might be looking at is that an older person with anxiety has had the disorder for decades, potentially all their life, and that could mean either that there's a more biological, you know, genetic or other kind of biological factor involved, and I think there's some good evidence for that. Could also be, in part, that they've had a much longer history of learning avoidance and some of these other behaviors that serve to maintain anxiety. I think that's more likely why we see this problem.
Oh, okay. So the treatment options are generally the same, are you saying?
Well, so for depression, I would say that the treatment options, there are some very effective psychotherapy treatments for depression. Problem-solving therapy in particular is a very powerful treatment. It can be done in primary care. It can be done in about 6 sessions. And it can be done with cognitively impaired older adults. Recent study came out showing problem-solving therapy more effective than supportive psychotherapy, which is a very strong control condition, in older adults who were very disabled, many of whom had dementia, and they were seen in their homes. So problem-solving therapy is very effective for depression in older adults. Behavioral activation is very effective. There's some work that's been done shown that you can teach a caregiver to do behavioral activation with an older your dementia patient, and it relieves the depression. And incidentally, it has benefits for depression and caregiver burden as well. The caregivers get less depressed. So I think with depression, we have a lot of options. And I think with depression medications, particularly SSRI medications, are very effective. The one class of people for whom medications don't seem to work in older people is folks with executive dysfunction. So if they're having trouble with things like planning and organizing, and they're not necessarily demented, their memories may be okay, but they're a little more disorganized. The data suggests that actually problem-solving therapy is better than an SSRI medication. So that's for depression. For anxiety disorders in older people, SSRIs seem to be pretty effective. Psychotherapy, as I said, is less effective, and the key component for psychotherapy in older adults with anxiety disorders seems to be relaxation training. So if I had an older person with depression come to me and they say, you know, I really don't want to take medications, no way, no how, I would say that's fine. We have a lot of options available, and I would be very confident that I would be able to treat that person. If someone with anxiety, an older person with an anxiety disorder came to me, even as a psychotherapist, and I'm not a psychiatrist, I don't prescribe medications, but if someone came to me with anxiety who was older, I would feel, in the interest of informed consent, saying, well, you know, there might be something better. I would still try to do relaxation training with a person, and if that didn't really solve the problem, we'd reopen the conversation about medications.
You mentioned caregivers, so can you give any advice to family members and other caregivers as to what they should look for to get proper treatment for a relative who may be diagnosed correctly or incorrectly with anxiety or depression?
Yeah, I think the key thing is that it is important to get help, that these problems are not normal parts of aging. Even in somebody with cognitive impairment or depression, I don't think you can still treat the depression and improve the person's quality of life. It's not necessarily going to change their cognition. But I think far too often we don't recognize those problems, or we assume that, oh, well, that's just, you know, of course, if I had the beginnings of Alzheimer's disease, I would be depressed too. And we have shown that treatment of depression and anxiety can alleviate, can make quality of life better. There's actually some evidence that treatment of anxiety for people who also have high blood pressure can reduce their blood pressure. And there are reasons to think that if somebody's mildly cognitively impaired and they have kind of chronic anxiety, improving that anxiety or reducing that anxiety may actually have some positive impacts on their cognition and on their health. So in terms of getting an accurate diagnosis, it is tricky. It's very sad, but we do not have enough mental health providers who are trained to work with older people. And, you know, if you look even here at the Anxiety Disorders Association conference, there's so many more offerings relative to older adults than there were a few years ago, and I'm so grateful to the organization for that. But if you count the number of, you know, talks and articles published and grants given for, say, treatment of anxiety in children and compare them to treatment of anxiety in older adults, you're still going to see quite a discrepancy. So finding a provider is difficult. I would advise probably going online to another organization, the American Association for Geriatric Psychiatry, and finding out where the locations are where you can have an actual, you know, person trained in geriatrics to evaluate your older relative. But again, it's just very, very important, because this can have a huge impact on well-being and even on health.
And you mentioned relaxation. Are there other anti-anxiety or antidepressant activities that you recommend?
Sure. I personally think the evidence is quite strong for exercise as an effective treatment for geriatric depression. The trick is to get a depressed older person to want to start exercising. But if you can, if you're able to do that, and, you know, often social support, you know, if people can start an exercise group, or even just having one other person to walk with. You know, for some folks, walking in a shopping mall, because, you know, you don't have to worry about snow and ice and, you know, bumpy ground and that kind of thing. Some folks that I know walk at places like Costco or Home Depot because they have the big cart. So if somebody's, you know, maybe a little concerned about falling and a little self-conscious about a walker, they can go down those long aisles. So that's one thing. Certainly some people find spirituality or religious practices to be very important. Social support can be very important. One of the things that we actually found was not helpful was getting involved in for anxiety, I will say, getting involved in lots of different activities. That attempt to distract oneself actually seems to serve the purpose more of avoidance, and people who try to do that actually don't seem to get as well in the long run. I don't know much about alternative, you know, dietary kinds of changes or, you know, some of the other kinds of treatments there. I know that transcranial magnetic stimulation, I don't know if you're considering that it's not psychotherapy and it's not medication. I'm not an expert there, but there is some evidence that it's effective, although I believe not as much for post-stroke depression. So that would be something, again, you'd want to talk to a specialist and who could sort of advise.
Okay, so the population is aging, that much we know. What do you see on the horizon for treating anxiety and geriatric depression?
Right. I see two possibilities, one more hopeful than the other. The hopeful possibility is that we recognize that we are going to be experiencing a tsunami of older people who have anxiety and depression. And we start to put a greater emphasis on learning more about these problems and on educating providers, patients, and their families about these problems. And again, this is why I'm very grateful to ADAA, particularly because I think this organization has made a great attempt to increase their representation of aging. If that happens, I see a lot of hope for progress. I think that we've got a lot left to learn, but I think that, you know, there are a lot of people out there that are doing the kind of work that will take us forward. The less hopeful path is that we kind of keep doing what we've unfortunately been doing for too many years and really not paying as much attention now, so that when the full wave of the baby boomers hits, you know, here we are. We don't really know what to do with all of these Vietnam veterans who are now, you know, still taking their PTSD with them into old age and starting to get cognitively impaired, and they're having flashbacks, and they're, you know, and I'm saying this from my own experience working on internship in an inpatient geriatric unit in a VA, and we had a gentleman who would, you know, dive under the bed when a mop fell and these kinds of things because he, you know, was just not aware of where he was sometimes. So my hope is that we can recognize before it's too late that we need to have more information, we need to have more providers, and we need to have more information out there.
And do you have any additional advice for adult children who might be facing these issues with their parents or other relatives?
Yeah. Well, first of all, take care of yourself. It's very difficult to be an adult child and to be a caregiver, and particularly if you also have other responsibilities, children, husbands, wives, partners, work. So you know, and be aware that you're not alone. There are a lot of people in this situation. In terms of what to do for your family member, I think the main thing is to recognize that these things aren't, you know, anxiety and depression are not normative. They're not just part of the package that comes with either getting old or even with getting ill or getting, you know, cognitively impaired. So do seek out help.
Good advice. Thanks very much, Dr. Wetherill. This is Jean Kaplan-Tycro for ADAA.